later on in the program, we are going to be speaking of the arts with Kate Nelson. Right now, I would like to welcome Demise Foster. She's Executive Director of Conservation Voters New Mexico. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Good morning, Mary Charlotte. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you, as always. And I know you were just on the KSFR News, but I thought we could go into a little more depth about what happened in this primary election. First of all, Conservation Voters New Mexico, tell us just a little bit about what you guys do.
Sure. At Conservation Voters, we're working towards gaining a conservation majority in the state legislature. We do this by mobilizing voters, winning elections, and then holding elected officials accountable as we try to advance responsible public policies for our environment.
And you do this not only in general elections and during the legislative session, you're very active as well, but also during primaries. What's the nature of the work that you do during a primary season?
Primaries are very important because it really sets the stage for the general election, and we know that we can make the most difference in a lot of races in the primary. So what we did was recruit candidates, wanted to pick up a few seats that were coming open for the first time, and make sure that we got in there early, because if you get in there early, a lot of people who work on elections really focus on the general. So the difference with Conservation Voters New Mexico is we think we can make a difference in the primaries. So that's what kind of sets us apart from other groups.
Very interesting. Now, what do you mean by recruiting candidates? How do you do that?
Well, you find someone in the district that you think would be a viable candidate that has strong conservation values, that is known in their community, that highly respected, viewed as someone who cares about our land, air, and water, and then you cultivate them into a viable candidate that can really get out in their district and talk to people and be known as someone that's running so that they can get elected.
So like leadership training kind
mm-hmm.
of stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Very
yeah, absolutely.
Interesting. And so that's something, you know, that's something that most of us don't really have any clue about. Like when it gets to election day, we see two candidates or three or seven or one or whatever. But we really don't know how they got there. And we live in a day and age where, especially on the national level, but on the state level too, as we're seeing and as we'll see, there's so much money in politics, and so many people think it's just a shark tank and they don't want to get into it. So what is the motivation when you get people who really are interested in the values of land, air, and water to brave all of the nasty stuff to get into politics?
Well, it's a challenge. I mean, you know, because we find just, you know, regular folk who live in their district who we know will be wonderful, but maybe they don't know how to even go about it. And, you know, we encourage them. We, you know, let them know that they've got backup in us. We kind of set them on their path. There is a moment, though, where we have to put up a wall. And that moment is because we also have a PAC that runs independent expenditures. And during that time, we can't have contact with the candidate because we'll be running our own mailers and phone program. And under state law, we can't coordinate with candidates
right.
with our independent expenditure.
Very interesting. So you supported many candidates all over the state during this primary election, and the vast majority of them did win their elections.
They did. We out of eight of our endorsed candidates, six of them won. We were very pleased about this, particularly in the PRC, the Public Regulation Commission races. We had two people we really wanted to win. One of those was in PRC District 4, Linda Lovejoy. She did win that race. And the reason why the PRC is so important is because there's only five commissioners that represent the entire state of New Mexico. And when you think about there's actually 112 legislators that represent New Mexico in the state legislature, but only five PRC commissioners. And it's the most important race that no one knows about.
What does the PRC actually do?
The PRC regulates utilities, transportation, insurance. They're the people that ensure that, you know, for example, they put in standards for the utilities to make sure they are diversifying their base in terms of using renewable energy. They actually were responsible for adopting the RPS regulations that had made us the first state in the country to have a renewable portfolio standard that was the strongest in the nation, that had the most renewables in our renewable portfolio standard. That happened back when Ben Ray Lujan was on the commission, as well as Linda Lovejoy. When we had some new commissioners come into office in the last election cycle, they rolled that RPS back, so it was no longer in place. We want the Public Regulation Commission to adopt a higher RPS standard again, and with Linda Lovejoy in office, I think that we have a chance to do that.
So the PRC, when you talk about utilities and transportation, you're essentially talking about air quality, climate change, all kinds of things.
Yeah, the PRC is the one body in our state that gives us the opportunity to battle climate change. You know, it's very difficult in this time in our legislature to get good bills passed. But in the under the PRC commission, we can actually get some good regulations adopted where we can actually work towards protecting our land, air, and water, get higher regulations for carbon emissions, for making sure that we have more solar and renewable energy in our portfolio.
It's so interesting to watch the anti-climate change movement, and I mean, I get stuff in the mail. I got this thing the other day which looked like a kind of scientific report with a Bambi deer on the front and pictures of polar bears in it, and then it said all this stuff that made no sense whatsoever and was scientifically completely unfounded, and then you look at the list of scientists in the back and it'll say, you know, John Doe, independent meteorologist from Germany, you know.
Who are these people?
Who are these people? And I was like, I got to look each one of them up because it's the whole thing is a sham. Mm-hmm. And so, anyway, that's an aside. But, I mean, when we talk about what's going on in these elections, what we're really talking about are things that should be nonpartisan issues like water quality.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the bad news is that in the state of New Mexico, it is partisan. The environmental issues are partisan, and we really would like to change that because Conservation Voters is a nonpartisan organization. We would love to have some Republican champions. We yeah. really would. But we don't. We don't. And, you know, I know other states have had success electing pro-Republican conservation candidates to their legislatures, but in New Mexico, unfortunately, we're not there yet.
Very interesting. Now, let's talk about the House of Representatives. There are a handful of candidates who you were championing, who were supporting, who did win their primary elections, all of them Democrats.
Yes, absolutely. You know, one of those, in particular, Doreen Johnson, who's in House District 5, was a major success for us. I don't know if you were watching the news when we were challenging the incumbent Sandra Jeff to a lawsuit.
Yes, indeed.
And we, against all odds, were successful in actually removing her from the ballot because she did not get enough nomination signatures on her petitions. And so that was a battle that took 2 months. And so now we have a true pro-conservation candidate in Doreen Johnson who is going to be running in the general election, which is just a huge, huge opportunity. That particular seat, HD5, was held by Sandra Jeff, who was just absolutely one of the worst people on the environment that we've ever seen.
I think it's worth discussing that not all while all Republicans seem to be anti-environment, not all Democrats are conservation.
Exactly.
What's going on with that?
It's interesting. In the case of Sandra Jeff, she ran as a Democrat, though she didn't represent the conservation values of her district. She stood up against her people's. The Navajo Nation had a ban on uranium. She stood up against the ban. She was clearly more interested in supporting the uranium industry than her constituents. And she ran as a Democrat, and time and time again in the legislature, I watched her in the session, she always voted with the Republicans. So, she became the swing vote and was the reason why we weren't able to pass the budget in the House until the last week of the session. So it is interesting. We do have a lot of Democrats in our state that do not show that they support conservation values. We have a CVNM scorecard, and in the scorecard we actually we calculate a score for each legislator on how they vote for our land, air, and water. And you can go to that and see what their percentage is and how they do. And it's really interesting to see some of the Democrats that have really low scores. And those people we want to try to remove and get good conservation champions in those seats.
And that takes many, many years.
Yes, it does. It does. In the case of House District 10, which is the South Valley of Albuquerque, it was one of our most exciting wins. The person who held that seat, Kiki Severa, he was in it for 32 years.
Yeah.
And he was pretty good on our issues, but not a champion. Andreas Romero is a wonderful young conservation champion. He is someone that his platform that he ran in is that I want to protect the land, air, and water in the South Valley. His family has lived in the South Valley for generations. We wanted to make sure that we got someone in that seat that we could count on, because we could have someone in there for 32 years again.
Right.
So it's important to get the right person in, and with him, I think that was a huge win for the state of New Mexico.
Do you see a lot of young people going into politics like Andres Romero?
Yeah, it's actually very, very exciting. We have had a couple of younger candidates. Javier Martinez as well. He ran in Albuquerque in House District 11. He's a young attorney. He's got very strong conservation values, and we really needed to get him in because Rick Mira, who had been in that seat for many, many years, just retired, and he was a conservation champion. So we needed to make sure we got someone in. But it's wonderful to see this insurgence of young people getting interested in politics. And if we can nurture and cultivate them into our new conservation heroes, we could possibly actually reach our conservation majority in the legislature in New Mexico.
Conservation Voters New Mexico, and we're talking to its executive director, Demise Foster, has been very good at fending off some of the most horrifying anti-environmental legislation, but on the proactive side, getting really good legislation passed that protects our, to say it again, lair, air, land, and water, is much harder.
Yes.
And so that's what we're trying to do, what you're trying to do in the long run.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to do, because we've been on defense for 10 years. In the last legislative session, we were successful in stopping 100% of the bad environmental legislation, and that's been our niche in the Roundhouse, is being on defense to really make sure that stuff doesn't pass. And we actually reached our landmark of a decade of defense this year. But our goal is to pass some positive legislation, and right now it's virtually impossible because we don't have enough conservation champions. But the good news is we've doubled our conservation champions in the House in the past 10 years, and we're very close to doubling them in the Senate. So we're slowly picking up seats, and we're becoming greener and greener and greener in the legislature.
Tell us some of the things that are actually at stake. I mean, we can talk politics from now until the end of time, but let's talk about, childhood health, for example.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. We had a candidate in House District 7, Teresa Smith Desharif, who won by only 42 votes. It was one of our very close races, and We worked really hard on getting out in her neighborhood and talking to people and sending out mailers and getting on the phone, and she just barely won. But what's important about her and in meeting with her is that she's a physician, and she has dealt with so many children who have suffered from asthma, from air pollution, and she's seen it firsthand as a doctor. And so, you know, she wants to fight to make sure that we pass good legislation for our children and to make sure we continue to have the best air quality in the nation. You know, that's why it's so important to have people like her in there, because they understand it and they've seen it firsthand. And, you know, I'll tell you, when I was in the Roundhouse this last session, there was a sea of industry lobbyists trying to pass really bad bills that would have allowed big polluting industries to continue to pollute our air, continue to contaminate our water, and it's a battle.
And I'll never forget when you were last on the air and you were talking about how they were cornering you in the bathroom and harassing you. And it's very, very serious business. And I think just as it's important to have a doctor, for example, as a legislator, it's also really important to have, as you were talking about a moment ago, these young people, because young legislators have their whole lives ahead of them. And I think so many young people really get what environmental pollution and climate change are about, whereas older folks say, well, you know, we're not going to live to see it.
I absolutely agree with you. I mean, we've got candidates like Javier Martinez, who he is a young child. You know, he understands it. He wants his children to be able to go down to the bosque and be able to play on the banks of the river and not be worried about contamination or pollution. And, you know, you've got Andreas Romero, who has seen the South Valley just be, you know, he grew up in this very industrial kind of community that is now, with so many young people getting into different things like farming and wanting to just transition that whole community into a thriving, healthy community. And he's part of the leader, one of the leaders who's you know, charging the way to do that. It's a very exciting time where, you know, I think there's been this old guard in New Mexico, that in our legislature of you know, these, the old guard that really kind of ran the show, and they all came in there and were aligned with polluting industries, and no one really checked them too much. And now we've got these young people who are interested in their communities thriving, and I think it's an amazing new pattern.
It also brings up, when you talk about the South Valley, issues of what's called environmental justice.
Yes, absolutely.
What is
absolutely.
That?
Environmental justice is, you know, in communities such as South Valley, it's, you know, that these are the neighborhoods where that don't necessarily get the most attention in terms of people being concerned for the people's welfare there. So, for example, a very polluting type of industry might come in there, start contaminating the water, and they have a very difficult time trying to protect themselves because they don't really have the backup, they don't really have the visibility of maybe more affluent neighborhoods. You know, environmental justice addresses the need that every single person in the state of New Mexico should have access to clean water. Every single person should be able to turn on their faucet and be able to drink the water. In House District 5, where Doreen Johnson lives, many people do not have water that is safe to drink. And they don't even know that they can actually have people come out and test their water. There's a cancer clinic there. People are getting sick all the time from the legacy of uranium mining. And in those communities, the people there don't have the tools, they don't have the visibility. And if we can have good conservation champions like Doreen Johnson in there fighting for them to have the right to have clean water to drink, then we're finally going to get somewhere.
Demise Foster is Executive Director of Conservation Voters New Mexico. They are on the web at cvnm.org. So what are you doing between now and the general election?
Oh, that's a very good question. So we're very excited that 6 out of 8 of our candidates have won. And the next step is to, we send out, we have a very comprehensive endorsement strategy that we use and policy. And what we do is send out questionnaires to candidates in every contested race. And we gather those back up. We look at a lot of different factors, such as conservation values of each district, viability of candidates and their questionnaires. And then we decide who we want to endorse in the general election. And so it's a process where, you know, it really is going to lead us into the general election with a good sense of who's on the bigger landscape and who's going to be able to actually go over the finish line and win. So we'll be going through that process beginning in the next few weeks.
Demise Foster, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe, and we look forward to having you back as the election cycles continue.
Thank you so much, Mary Charlotte.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment with Speaking of the Arts and Kate Nelson. Please stay tuned to the Radio Cafe.